This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic.
Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
high emotions, drama, controversy, scandal. Was all happening with Abby and Tyrone just then, wasn't it? Wrapping up on The Drive Show after a solid few years. But we've got a lot to talk about as well on the shake-up. Let's get into it. G'day, it's your old friend Dave Marchese. How are you? It's so good to have you here listening in on what has been a pretty big day at Triple J, but also a massive week. Huge headlines. Here's a taste of what's coming up. Ha!
Australia has a new political party.
They've got a name and everything.
Carl will not be returning to the Today Show or tonight.
Hey, guess what, Carl? I'm looking for someone in my office.
Yeah, how loud can you shout?
Oh, yeah!
On Triple J.
Yeah, later we're talking records. And the Australian air conditioner cleaner who's been recognised as the world's loudest person. It is quite the title, really. And I want to know, do you have a record? It doesn't have to be big. It can be a small one. I want to know, what is the record you hold? 0439 757 555. Before we get to that chat, though, let's meet the shake-up crew, and let's set a record for potentially the best shake-up crew in history, may I say. First, journalist, founder of the Something Better movement, Charlotte Mortlock. Hello.
Hello.
Have you been well, Charlotte? What's going on?
I have been well. This weather's been awful in Sydney.
Oh, okay. In Sydney, weather no good.
Cold.
People freezing. In other parts of Australia saying, well, it's beautiful here, so
must be good. Nice.
What have you been up to? Because we're talking later about a new political party launching, and I'm keen to get your thoughts on that, but have you had a big week? Have you got a big weekend coming up? What's happening?
I have had a big week. It's just like juggling lots of things at once and lots of multitasking. But I've got a nice event tonight that I'm going to where I'm going to have a few wines and really ease into the weekend.
Oh, sounds good.
Yeah.
Amazing. Wish I could join you, but Sober Journey's taking a break. And, you know, you've got to do that from time to time. Someone who also may be taking a break, I don't know, Perry Duffin from the Sydney Morning Herald.
Hello, Dave. No, I'll be pleased to report that I am through with Sober Journey.
Should be taking a break. Sorry, I got that wrong.
It sounded like that was a recommendation, actually.
Should be taking a break.
Intervention live on air. Wonderful. Thank you.
How's your week been, Pezza?
Great, great. I love it. I actually love this weather. It's the best.
Oh, okay. You like a bit of winter weather?
I can go outside. I don't get harassed by the UV.
You're just being contrarian for the sake of it, straight off the bat.
Conflict, straight away.
I hate some.
Whatever Charlotte says, I want to say the opposite. I mean, have you been on the shake-up since you had your big wedding? You got married. I can't remember.
I don't know. I actually, all the shake-ups blur into one. It's just a beautiful dream for me.
It's quite a nice experience. I mean, do you know, Charlotte, I married Perry.
It's true.
Were you the celebrant?
Yeah.
But I was supposed to be at that wedding, and so unfortunately I missed it because I had another wedding on that night.
Oh.
But
I did the full thing.
Did you?
Unofficially.
That's epic.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
Totally sober wedding as well, wasn't it?
not quite.
That's why the recommendation's coming.
People thinking, God, he's multi-talented, this Dave. He can marry people. He can host a radio show. He's also a town crier. Yeah, you heard that, right? What? I'm a town crier. And we're going to get to that later. But first,
Carl Stefanovic has told friends he's both saddened and shocked after being dumped by Channel 9
on Triple J.
Yeah, he says he's now free and he's truly independent. It's been a big week for Carl Stefanovic. Channel 9 confirming today that the TV presenter has left the network after a lot of controversy around his new podcast. So what has gone on here? And what do you think of how it's all happened?
Hack. So I'm free. Truly independent.
Long-time Today Show host Carl Stefanovic is expected to leave the network.
They've punted him.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Keir Starmer is a wanker.
It's turned out to be a bridge too far.
Politicians are divided as well.
You go down that road and you get further and further out on the edges.
I don't think journalists should lose their jobs for talking to people.
Hey, guess what, Carl? I'm looking for someone in my office. Come and apply for a job with me.
On Triple J.
Yeah, Carl Stefanovic parting ways with Nine after an interview with far-right extremist Tommy Robinson outraged a lot of people, saying that he was platforming dangerous views. What do you think? And do you think this is the right outcome? Or maybe you're one of those who say Carl's being treated unfairly here. And what does it all say about the state of the media in this country? Have you listened to the podcast?
Give us your review, 0439757555. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese. I'm joined by journalists Charlotte Mortlock and Perry Duffin. All right, can you put your hand up if you've been on the Carl Stefanovic podcast? Oh, one person has put their hand up, Charlotte Mortlock. I'm keen to get your view on this because you were on there a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I was.
You were joined by a One Nation senator and Jared Rennick as well. How was it?
It was a really nice experience. It was a very, you know, open discussion. There was disagreement, but it was, yeah, it was a good experience.
Were you the lefty of the group?
Yeah, which is weird, right?
Oh, my God.
I know, but this is my life. Because when I was in the Liberal Party was like, she's woke. And then in all of my friends, they were like, she's conservative. And I'm like, lonely. I'm Mr. Lonely.
Oh, okay. So you had a good experience there. What do you think of how all this has played out this week?
Probably the most, like, salient thing to me that it reaffirms is that I really think in Australia we need a journalism kind of code of conduct or something, and a way to differentiate what's opinion and who are journalists. That is, I think, the crux of a lot of the problems that the media is having at the moment. If you are a journalist, you have to hold people to account. You have to be across your brief. You have to really interrogate them. And if you are a social media influencer or a podcaster, it is a different standard. And the audience needs to expect different things from either.
Well, by the definition of, like, the journalists you've given there, I mean, Carl Stefanovic has been that in the past. And, you know, people might know him not only from the Today Show, but 60 Minutes, where he's done lots of big interviews. But you're saying it kind of crossed a line with the podcast.
Yeah, I think it did, and I just think it's a bit confusing to people when he's so anti-mainstream media, but he has essentially been the face of mainstream media for the best part of two decades. I think that is incongruent, and that is hard for people to rectify. Yeah, I do think, you know, I obviously only saw parts of the interview with Tommy Robinson, but it probably wasn't the scrutiny that I would expect for someone that is someone like himself.
Yeah, I mean,
and with the track record that he does, having been to jail and
et cetera. For people who need to be caught up, yeah, there has been a lot of controversy about this interview with Tommy Robinson, who's a former member of the fascist British National Party, also co-founded the English Defence League, which is an anti-Islam movement that's, you know, been responsible for organising street demonstrations and all kinds of stuff. That interview was taken down this week, but then Pauline Hanson reposted it on her socials. I mean, Perry, what were your thoughts about all this?
Well, I think that it's right that he wasn't acting like a journalist. Like, at one point, apparently, he says something like, you know, I bloody love you to Tommy Robinson. I don't think I've ever done that in an interview with any of the, you know, police officers or criminals that I've spoken to in my life.
You might get better exclusives if you
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, but there are probably, like, mainstream media, like, players who interview politicians all the time who might say, I think you're a great person and I agree with you. I mean, it might not be the kind of journalism that a lot of people are used to, but it's definitely out there.
Yeah, I don't think that it's journalism. I think that it's a failure to reckon properly with what you're there to do. But also, I mean, Carl has been courting the sort of One Nation-esque vote now for a long time. He's interested in that audience. I mean, he interviews people like Pauline constantly. I mean, to go and interview Tommy Robinson is a decision that you make. It's not like he's a relevant figure here who we are like, you know, what's Tommy Robinson think about this? He chose this. He sought this guy out. I think it's a really obvious reason why he's done it as well.
Yeah, can I add a random story in here?
Sure.
A few years ago, in the depths of COVID on Twitter, which is like where all awful stories start during COVID and on Twitter.
Sounds like a horror story.
A horrific place. I actually did get like piled on, not cancelled because I understand the difference, but I had a massive pile on. Perry will remember. Because Jessica Rowe interviewed Pauline Hanson and I said, good on you for, you know, having a conversation with someone. She is a democratically elected senator in Australia and you have a right to have those discussions, something along those lines. And I got massively piled on. I think it is different because Pauline Hanson is democratically elected here. To go seek out Tommy Robinson, you are seeking him out for what reason to an Australian audience? And if you are going to do that, I do think there needs to be a level of scrutiny.
We've got some messages coming through. Someone's saying Carl's trying to be the Aussie version of Joe Rogan and he can't cut it. Is someone's opinion there? Another person saying wouldn't be a problem if he was interviewing a left-leaning extremist. Media is completely controlled by the left and this just proves it. Is that person's comment? Another person says, yep, he's free, truly independently unemployed. And someone else saying Carl crossed no line. The left-wing media is happy to hear opinions until it doesn't suit their narrative. That is something that we're hearing a lot of. We also have Defund the ABC on here, which, that comes up every now and then. Charlotte, thoughts on that? Because you might have been a person previously who's thought, and maybe still now, who thinks, oh, there's different standards for the left and right.
I just think everyone plays the victim when it suits them. You know, if you're a conservative politician, you say, oh, the media always give us a tough run. Albo's saying now the media gives us a tough run. It's just everyone needs to take their head out of their bottom and just, you know, focus on what they can control and understand. I do think that journalism in Australia, we do need changes there because we risk muddying the entire industry and having a decrease in quality unless we can better differentiate between opinion and journalism.
Mm. What do you think, Perry, in terms of Carl leaving his breakfast TV role? Do you think that was really the only option for all these parties involved, like whether that be Carl, whether that be Nine, whether that be whoever, like it seems like it was going to happen all week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, speaking personally, not as a employee of Nine and with no actual understanding of the inner workings of these negotiations, I think that Carl probably had set himself up over the last year or so to prioritise this podcast and prioritise the people that he was pursuing on there. And, I mean, he took this as a way to justify having a lessened pay cut. So, like, he wanted this show. He wanted to be able to do this. And I think that amongst the crowd that he is targeting, the audience he is targeting, they're obsessed with cancel culture. They're obsessed with it. And so for him to, like, get fired or whatever, I imagine that he did a calculation in his mind. I know I would have, where it's like, is it going to be bad for my business, really? If I do some controversial interview and they force me out, is that actually going to be a bad thing for me? Or is my audience, in fact, so obsessed with this concept already that it's just going to make me look like a martyr? It's going to be the perfect thing for them. They love it.
Well, someone on the text line now is saying this is a big publicity stunt by Carl, going by the same playbook as many other conservative commentators who I'm not going to name, that person says. Another person says it's important to say he's not a journalist, he's a host. Someone else.
But he has a journalism degree.
Well, and also, I mean, he's definitely, you know, considered a journalist in many of the roles he's had. I think he's as the host of the Today Show and, you know, in his reporting. He was a reporter for many years. Someone else saying, why would Carl give this person any more airtime and publicity? It's an interesting time, Charlotte, because you've got the whole Kyle Sanderland stuff playing out as well at the moment. He's also going to go do his own thing. Mm. What do you think this says about like the state of the media at the moment in Australia?
God, get out the popcorn for Carl and Kyle going head to head.
Is there
going to
be a double header?
A race to the top or a race to the bottom? I don't know. Tune in and find out. I do think that we just haven't, you know, my two things are democracy and the Fourth Estate. They're the two things that I love the most. I do think that journalism has really failed to keep up to date with a few things like the impacts of algorithms. Like journalists also get sent down rabbit holes and their inability to be able to recognise when they're in an echo chamber. And then just the standards have been sliding. And I get that because I was a journalist for 12 years and when you're reporting on something, you want to kind of, a lot of the time I did, like wanted to be an opinion person. I wanted to be a commentator on the things I was seeing. And to resist that temptation is really hard. And it's hard not to want a personal brand. It's hard not to want to build that. And I think media companies need to pay journalists a premium if they sign up to a certain code of conduct that says, nah, you're not having a side hustle. You're not having a podcast. You are hired by this paper to go and be an unbiased Fourth Estate. And you get a tick next to your byline that shows that you're this version as opposed to the others.
So it's all about verification and people being certain of what they're getting. Yeah. Do you think, Perry, that people just want to hear opinions increasingly now, that they're not interested maybe as much in hearing both sides and, you know, exploring journalism in the traditional sense?
I think that people are polarized massively and, you know, I put a lot of it down, of course, to the algorithms. You know, I think that, you know, as Charlotte said, just because you're like a rich, famous person on the telly doesn't mean you actually get like a better version of Facebook. You still get the same like insane boomer slop that just
that
sort of
so good.
It radicalizes everyone and they're not immune. Billionaires in this country are very obviously not immune to it. Yeah. And so I would say that, you know, people are increasingly polarized because of this. Certain audiences, particularly polarized, they're not interested in like hearing the other side. They're interested in winning. It's a win and a lose, and it's a competition, and it's a survival feeling for these people. They talk about it existentially, their side of politics. And I think that, you know, when you feel like your lifestyle, your country is under threat, you're probably going to fight tooth and nail and like a mad person in order to survive. And I think that these people have really falsely adopted a extremified way of consuming information. They think they're getting attacked.
The people giving the information become caricatures because they know their audience so well now that they know every issue where their audience lands. And instead of, they just become these caricatures that just feed them everything that they want to hear. And like shout out to Quillette, which is like an independent media organization that just do the most incredible job of being like, don't care what you want to hear. This is the critical thinking. And I think it's like really impressive when people are able to do that because it's hard and it's requires a lot of discipline.
All right. We've got a lot of messages coming through. Someone's saying free speech is dead, left or right. It doesn't matter. Let the man be, that person says. Another person says, I'm a woke lefty who listened to the whole podcast and there was nothing said at all in that podcast that was unsuitable or caused me alarm, that person's saying. And another person saying, no, I don't think it was right and I don't think that we can even defend it at all. I don't understand the people who are. All right, let's move on.
Hack. Well, a party for the politically homeless. That is what Zali Stengel and Allegra Spender have set out to achieve.
On Triple J.
Yeah, speaking of politics, and while Pauline Hanson, One Nation have been getting a lot of attention recently, there's also been another political party that's been grabbing some headlines over the past few days. Independents banding together to offer an alternative to the major parties. But so far, a pretty small team, just two.
Hack.
We are Community Strong Australia because the superpower for Australia is its communities.
It has two members, Allegra Spender and Zali Stengel.
Who is the leader of this party?
There is no leader.
Think of it as a sporting team. In terms
sporting team has a captain.
Well,
the name is terrible.
It sounds like a name that perhaps some consultants came up with.
This, I hope, marks a new era of Australian politics.
On Triple J.
Yeah, I want to know what you think of this. This new political party, Allegra Spender and Zali Stengel, have kicked off. It's called Community Strong Australia. Would you vote for them? Also, the name, Community Strong Australia. What do we think of that? Doesn't really roll off the tongue, but maybe you love it. Give me your best name suggestion for a political party. 0439 757 555. This is The Shake-Up. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by journalists Perry Duffin and Charlotte Mortlock. Charlotte, did Allegra and Zali jack your idea here?
No, because I got there first.
Yeah, what's going on? Because you launched the Something Better movement. We talked about that on Hack recently. Mm-hmm. They've launched this other thing. I asked them actually yesterday if you're involved and they said, oh, not yet. Not yet. Is it something you might get involved in?
Look, at the moment, Something Better is only like a couple of months old and we're kind of working out our own, finding our own feet and our own identity. And so it's not at the moment. But I do think that this is going to be a long 18 months until the next election. I really think that. We're going to see a lot of interesting things develop, I reckon. And with One Nation flying in the polls, this massive disruption, which I think is causing people a lot of fear, I also think it's awesome. Because we are seeing this massive change to Australian politics and this massive shake-up that our country has needed for a long time. And there is a real opportunity here to do our generation's responsibility of setting up democracy for the next generation.
Okay, so the shift in the media you're a bit unsure about, but the shift in politics you're all for. You're like, let's go.
Shift in media, I'd be all for it if it they put the right guardrails in place.
Okay. Perry, what do you reckon? Do you think people would get behind this, that there is opportunity here with this kind of political party?
I think it's good. I think that people need to have an option at least so they can scare the other parties, the big ones, you know, like they are happy to sit there and just trade, you know, who's in charge forever. And the way they, you know, Labor talks about Liberal and vice versa, that you can tell that they're like, they don't like each other, but the way they talk about small parties and independents is with hate. They do not like the idea that there's going to be like, I'm going to have to wait two terms or something until I get it. They do not want a third party. They don't want anyone else to come in and disrupt it and make things difficult for them in the crossbench or whatever.
Do you think the independents lose a bit of that, I don't know, appeal if they come together in this party format, that some people will be like, oh, no, now you're a party. You're not an independent. You don't have all that edge that I thought you had.
To me, no. Okay. I don't think. If there is someone impressive in our parliament, I want them as a minister. I want them to be able to be prime minister. I want them absolutely killing it. And I know that I just like harped on for a really long time about journalism and integrity and not being biased, but I am so sorry to inform you both that I have to be your favourite new party. I'm okay. Yeah. As a regular on this program,
nah,
I do.
Look, we've got some messages coming through. People got some tips on what we could name a party if they were going to name one. Someone says, how about the party? Yeah. Got a ring to it and stands for 4-day working weeks. That's what that person is recommending. Sold. Another person saying, why didn't they just name themselves the Teal Party? We're just going to keep calling them the Teals anyway. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, this is what Kelvin thinks of this new party.
They don't want to be the system. They don't want to be the establishment. But by forming that party, they become the very system, very establishment they try to fight against.
Okay, that's Kelvin's thoughts there. The other thing that really interested me in all this was that there's no kind of head of the party at this point. And Zali and Allegra were laughing about it. They're like, we don't need a head, we're just a partnership or whatever. But can I just say, as a journalist, it was really hard to do the interview because every question I asked, they both wanted to answer the exact same question. I was like, no, we've got to move on with this. It's going to take double the amount of time. But do you see that lasting, Charlotte? Do you see?
Well, I think they said, as I understand it, that when they get to like 10, then they would have a leadership structure.
They might consider it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think trying to recruit you, love. So
you're like, then I'll be the boss.
We need a boss.
Straight over the top. No, I think that it is cool, I think, to really turn a constitution on its head, to turn the political system, because it's not working. Like, even the fact that parties, the way they run at the moment, are run on members. Declining rates of volunteering is seeing membership drastically reducing. So the way that we think about political parties really needs to change and evolve. And so try a few different things. I've got no issue with it.
Yeah, we've got a lot of messages coming through. Someone says should have been called the Centre Party. Another one says, how about the Tell the Truth Party? Because that's what we need. Another person says, most honest political party name, In It For Ourselves.
Full of optimism.
Yeah, so many thoughts on that one. All right, we're going to move on. We're going to get a bit lighter.
Hack!
If you've ever been accused of being loud, we promise it will not hold a candle to this man in Australia.
On Triple J.
Okay, so this guy's been getting a bit of attention over the past few days. The Canberra man who's grabbed the world record for world's loudest person, Joseph McGrail Bater. He is Canberra's town crier. Didn't know they had one, but they do. It's kind of like an honorary position. They get around, go to sporting events, that kind of thing. So do you think you could beat him? Because a few of us at Triple J have been giving it a crack.
Hack!
Yeah, how loud can you shout? Probably not as loud as Joseph McGrail Bater.
There's no way that you could actually practice for it.
The man who holds the Guinness World Record for the loudest shout.
Just the one word, which was the word now.
I really want to see where I land up against Joseph McGrail Bater.
He's in the corner of the studio.
Here I am.
Further back. Yeah.
Now!
Oh, God.
On Triple J.
Yeah, that was Tyrone Parnell, the outgoing Triple J Drive presenter, new breakfast presenter, giving it his red hot go there. I think reaching 122 something decibels, quite impressive. I also gave it a go, guys. I don't know whether you want to hear that. I was asked by the text line to scream peekaboo. Or maybe you prefer producer Eva's remix of that featuring Skrillex. So, yeah, look, it's been a fun day at Triple J. Just a bit of screaming, bit of fun. I want to hear your world record or local record or whatever it is. 0439757555. It's The Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Perry Duffin and Charlotte Mortlock. Pezza, what do you think of Joe the Town Crier?
Pretty good. I mean, it's a huge defeat for... I've actually got a personal favourite Town Crier, and you know, no disrespect to Joe.
What do you mean?
Well, Steve from Gosford, Gosford's Town Crier.
He's, you know, never heard of him?
Well, shame on you.
No allegiance to a political party, but a strong allegiance
absolutely.
To the Gosford.
Strong allegiance.
Steve. He's great. Lovely guy.
Okay.
Good fan.
So there are quite a few of these Town Criers around.
Yeah. They, as you say, it's ceremonial. They don't get to carry a gun or anything.
Okay.
But they're unarmed.
Luckily.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We've got a lot of people on the text line now who have their... you know, records that they've achieved or people they know. Someone says, I was the first human to swim underwater through a cave we discovered. Now it's locked off to the public. Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, glad you're still here. Someone else saying, the record I hold, 57 kilos in Coles paper bag, picked up, walked around and put down without breaking. Anyone whose paper bag breaks has a skill issue, sorry, is that person's message there.
Incredible.
Okay. Another person on the text line. Oh, actually, let's go to Nick who's called up. Nick, what is your record that you're attempting to break?
Fastest marathon in a full kilt.
Fastest marathon in a kilt?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the jacket, shirt, bow tie, sovereign,
the full thing. Where are you doing this, Nick?
The full thing. Gold Coast, next weekend.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. And any particular reason you've chosen this? I mean, I can sense some maybe
sounds
cultural
cool.
allegiance. Yeah. He sounds
like he knows what's
doing. Yes, it's part of the Scottish National Service. If you leave the country, that you have to do that at some point. So,
okay. Fair enough. I mean, Charlotte, Perry, any questions for Nick? I mean, I have one question. Just like...
is it, do you wear underwear?
Normally, that's a paid service to answer that question.
Nick's like, oh, that's something else we offer. Well, Nick, best of luck. I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a huge thing. A lot of people are going to want to support you there. Best of luck to you. I've never heard of any. I'm speechless, really. I don't know what to say about Nick and his kilt record. Someone else says they got to get some metal singers in on this shouting contest. Yeah, they do. I mean, the metal crowd would be huge on this. Any records, Charlotte, that you've ever had or you've ever tried to attempt?
Look, the one that is front of mind at the moment.
The person who tried the hardest to get young people into the Liberal Party.
Yeah.
Or...
I did try really hard, guys. look, I'm actually quite talented at changing nappies at the moment.
Okay.
Which sounds boring, but when you have a 15-month-old and they wriggle around a lot,
yeah.
It is a real feat. So
okay.
I'm good at that, and I also am hyper, hyper productive.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I actually think I hold a world record for productivity.
Okay, well, look, that's a big claim. Perry, your thoughts? Any big records?
My wife has some multiple world records in Tetris, which is incredible.
Actual records?
Yeah, she does.
What?
She does. I don't know. I mean, she's very good at Tetris.
It's people, thrilling to do you watch. Know there's some unclaimed records? If people are out there and they're like, oh, I could actually give a record go. I had a look and there are some unclaimed records. Most potatoes peeled in a minute is unclaimed. Most anchovies eaten in a minute. I actually think you, Perry, would be good at that.
Yeah, I know I've got like chicken nuggets don't impact my body, so I can have like one, I could have 1,000, it's all just, they disappear.
Yeah.
Maybe anchovies too. I haven't actually bulked anchovies.
Yeah, so true. Someone says, another record, most drink cans crushed with feet in 1 minute. A lot of stuff to do in 1 minute, I've got to say. That seems to be the standard with records. And most high fives in 30 seconds, actually. All right, yeah. I mean, we could have attempted a record today, but we're not going to do that. Do you get across the records, read the books and stuff, love all the, oh, the biggest person, I did that, blah, 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 blah.
Charlotte?
Yeah, I used to love them in primary school. I don't know why. This is like core memory, but I used to go and like flick to the page of the person with the longest nails. Yeah. You know how they'll turn around?
Oh, yeah. We'd all see that one. We'd all see that one.
Yeah.
We've run out of time, guys. Shake up's over. I'm so sorry, but it's been so lovely. Can I just say huge thanks to crime reporter at the Sydney Morning Herald, Perry Duffin. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks, Dave. Love you.
And journal, love you. Record for most loved up friendship, broship. And Charlotte Mortlock from the Something Better movement. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Dave.
And a big thanks to the hardworking Hack crew, executive producer Edwina Story, radio producer Eva Blakemore, all of the reporters.
Hack.